The biggest factor, honestly, is in the most obvious area where we can improve quickly is just the walks. We were 30th out of 30 this year in unintentional walk rate, the only team over 10% unintentional walk rate. And that's not acceptable. None of us feel good about that. We managed to have the third lowest bullpen ERA in the National League, but we did it in a way that we're not comfortable really getting there.
Back to the beat on 720 WGN.
Well, if you're reading between the lines right there, maybe you figured out that Chris Bosio is going to be given his walking papers, and perhaps the Cubs are going to hire Jim Hickey, who worked with Joe Maddon down in Tampa. Of course, I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but that seems to be what everyone thinks. Sahadev Sharma, who does great work covering the Cubs and baseball for The Athletic, theathletic.com. Sahadev, I got to tell you, I am very cheap, and it's rare that I will reach into my wallet and get the credit card out. But I gave in this week, and I'm an official subscriber, and I've read every article that you've written now for the entire time The Athletic is going. So I just want you to know that I'm on board, I'm in the club, and it feels good. Hang on a second. Let me put you...
Written?
Go. How about that?
Everything that I've written over the past week? That's really impressive. I mean, that's some voracious reading right there, because I have been pumping out content for the past 2 years like crazy, my man. So I'm impressed.
Yeah. Carmen is a voracious reader.
Yeah, I might have slightly overstated it, but I'm in, I'm there, and I'm like, all right, I can read Sahadev and see what he's writing, and I know it's good, and I know it's detailed, and I know that I'm not going to understand all of it, but that's great. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm on board.
Sahadev,
I definitely appreciate that.
Sahadev, always a pleasure. Don't get enough time with you, Sahadev. Were you surprised by this move?
I wouldn't say I was completely surprised. It was kind of one of those things that, when you're around the guys, around the beat a lot, you hear different things. And we were talking after games, beat writers, kind of discussing what may happen. And that was one of the things I kept bringing up. I wonder if Bosio maybe let go. It feels like a scapegoat at times. I do know that there were some differences. Certain people had different ways of going about things. I think Bosio is great in certain ways, and there's no denying that. He has a lot of positive qualities. But Theo was quick to point out, a guy like Jake Arrieta, that's a lot on Jake Arrieta. I mean, that's extreme talent that the Cubs were able to tap into in various ways. So I think that's a organizational success, but primarily a Jake Arrieta success, and that Bosio definitely deserves credit for letting Jake go back to who Jake is with his delivery and not forcing him into – some specific role that he needs to be in. I think Bosio is really good at that when he has time with a guy to let them be themselves. I think there are times when a guy can go get too quickly in Bosio's club doghouse. I think there are times when Bosio, especially middle of the season, he expected guys to kind of conform to their way of doing things instead of letting a guy who had just been traded. That's a difficult situation that we don't sometimes always understand the impact of in a personal nature, that's hard, and to suddenly have to change the way you pitch too, or the way you work on your sides and different things like that. If those things are being changed, that can make it even more difficult. So I think there are little things like that he was a little rigid or a little stubborn in his way, and there were times when people would say, hey, I like this guy, maybe push him more, and Bosio would go with his guy instead. And I think those things kind of added up over the years. And obviously you're not going to let him go after a brilliant 2016 season when the pitching staff was one of the best in baseball. And this year, I think it felt like it was easier for them to get away with this in a way.
Yeah, I think you're alluding to what happened with Justin Wilson coming over from the Tigers, and that was not anywhere close to what the Cubs were expecting, obviously, and how much Bosio deserves fault for that, who knows, but that's definitely in the mix. Hey, I'm just wondering, and I know you're probably guessing here, but do you think they make this move if Jim Hickey's not available? Because, when they go and they get Joe, maybe Rick Renteria is still the manager if Joe Maddon's not available. I don't know if that's, in your mind, that's factoring in here.
Maybe they still make the move. But, there are a lot of pitching coaches available in general. A lot of guys that are respected around the league, right?
Yep.
And we just, it's one of those things where sometimes I wonder if you pick apart the grass is always greener on the other side, right? We've picked apart Joe Maddon for the past two postseasons, but who would you – is there someone that's available that you would say, yep, no doubt a better candidate to be the manager, right? Similar situation with Chris Bosio. I think, yeah, maybe Hickey's just they may feel more comfortable. Joe obviously knows him well. Maybe there's some things that they feel like he's more willing to listen on certain things when they say, hey, maybe try this guy more or do this with a guy, and he's more willing to listen. That's certainly a possibility. I think it seems obvious that Hickey's the primary guy. I mean, Joe kind of denied it, but that was before Bosio was let go. So it seems like a shoe-in, but, you know, weird things happen in baseball. So there are plenty of big names out there, including Mike Maddux. I don't know if they're interested in anybody else, but yeah, it seems like Hickey's the obvious choice. And, yeah, maybe it makes it easier to let him go when a guy like that's available.
I've heard Mike Maddux wants to be a manager. So, you know, that's a wrinkle to deal with. Sahadev Sharma, he ingests you with Cub knowledge if you go to theathletic.com. He's on the beat with Carm and myself. So, you know, Kyle Hendricks had multiple home run games back-to-back for the first time in his career. Quintana did not look good the last game. But the bullpen's what killed the Cubs. The bullpen hurt the Cubs fans. If they don't sign Wade Davis, of the people in-house, who would you imagine to be the closer favorite for next season?
Man, I would assume coming into the season, if they don't have Davis and they don't acquire someone that we know is going to be the closer, then it's going to be kind of closer by committee. Joe's done it before.
That
he's done
never
it in Tampa.
Works.
I mean, Joe's made it work in Tampa. He made it work in Tampa. He made it work to an extent. Now, this is the type of thing where someone has to emerge, right, Harry? So I say bullpen by committee, but that's in April and May, right? And you hope that Justin Wilson figures it out, or Carl Edwards Jr. steps up and says, this is my role now. This is what I was this is why I'm here. This is what I've been developed to do, to take over for a guy like Chapman and Wade Davis. It's now my turn. You hope that these guys emerge. I think Carl Edwards has that in him. I think there are times when he really battles his command, but I think if he continues to develop, he's that type of guy. I also think Justin Wilson has the capability. I know he does.
Right.
The capability to be a great setup guy and even a closer. I mean, this isn't a guy that the Cubs were the only team pursuing, that the Cubs fell in love with because they saw something that nobody else saw. Everybody saw it. I had scouts come up to me during the playoffs. For other teams that are in the playoffs, they were like, wow, we wanted that guy. How did he get left off the NLCS roster? What happened to him in the second half? They're like, we scouted him like crazy. He had everything that you want. I mean, the one thing that he doesn't have is a breaking ball to put a guy away. But he has an electric fastball, a special fastball that I think it was a little bit of confidence lost. I think there were some weird things going on there, and it just fell out of favor. And I get it. You can't put him on. You can't have him figure things out in the NLCS, right? So it makes perfect sense. But it also, I also think an off season with the team, being accustomed to the players and the situation a little bit more, I think that could really help him. And we've all seen it. We've seen relievers be awful for half a season or even a year or two, and then bounce back and be brilliant. I mean, you can rattle off a list of brilliant closers, guys who have been brilliant closers for a year or two that really weren't that good outside of those years. You know, Fernando Rodney, Carlos Marmol. I mean, the list is long of these types of relievers that have really special seasons and eventually get back to it.
Mel Rojas.
Go through the Cubs. Dave Smith.
Yeah, you can do that too.
You know, the last time bullpen by committee really worked was the Nasty Boys with the Reds when they had Charlton, Randy Myers, and Rob Dibble. And I mean, it's just I would be so distraught if that was the plan going into next season. We're going to do bullpen by committee. That's like Mormons that have multiple wives. Not a good idea.
If you're suggesting that it's coming within the organization, the closer, then it has to be bullpen by committee. But I think they may go out and get someone. It's just a hard situation because you can't keep getting these one-year rentals and keep having to rebuild the bullpen on the fly. It's going to be difficult to do something like that.
What do you think Wade's worth?
So Chapman and Jansen were on the free agent market last year, right? I think a little bit less than what they got. I think he's both older and he has that elbow scare last year. So I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but he's worth a lot. It's going to be 4 years. It's going to be too much in my mind that this front office doesn't feel comfortable giving that type of money. That's what I think. Unless there's less in there or they decide to change their philosophy with closers, I just don't see him returning. If he gives some sort of, if the market isn't as robust as I expect, then maybe he comes back.
All right, here, let me do another one. If I'm Theo, I'm Jed, I'm whatever. I'm calling up Jake Arrieta. I'm saying, Jake, I got a 3-year deal for you, and I'm going to give you $80 million. I mean, how far off am I on that deal? And I think that's fair.
That's an interesting way. I've had front office people over the years talk about maybe the next thing to do is really like 2-3 year deals, but just, you know, crazy money for that, for those 2-3 years, more than anyone would get for 5 or 6 years, per AAV type stuff. But yeah, that's not a crazy idea. I just think he's going to get the type of deal that, 25 for 5 years. If he gets a 6th year, it's going to look really good for him. I think he's going to get something like that because pitching is hard to come by. He's 31. He's got a nice track record. He's got the best agent in the business, and he's competing against Yu Darvish, right? And Yu Darvish has a major injury in his past. He looked brilliant, and he looks like that Cy Young caliber pitcher towards the end of his Dodgers run right here. He's looked really good. So he's going to make a ton of money, and so is Jake. So I get what you're saying, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I think they're going to use some of this position player talent to go get a starter. I think they're going to go get sign one starter as well, but I think it's going to be in that next tier, more Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, than the guys that are going to make $25 million and are past 30.
Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic visiting a little longer with Mark Kerman and me. I'm Harry on The Beat on WGN Radio. So, I want to get that position player that will be moved in just a second, but MLB, mm-hmm. MLB Network was talking about how you get value out of signing pitchers to these crazy contracts. And Chapman got $85 million, ridiculous, but if you look at the pitchers that are doing well in these playoffs, Verlander seems worth every penny. Scherzer seems worth every penny. Clayton Kershaw. But the hitters, do you know what position player? So Jason Hayward was tied for second. Jason Hayward made the second most amount of money in the MLB this year with Adrian Gonzalez. How about Carl Crawford was the highest paid player this year in Major League Baseball? That's insane.
Yeah. There's some really bad. I mean, I think that's why the Cubs have looked at it as we're going to sign pitchers and develop position players, right? They're going to try and sign. I mean, Theo kind of alluded to it. He specifically said, I'm not going to tell you if we ever are, negotiating with one of our players, but that's what we try and do. We want to bring them back, and they want to get guys that they have. I'm sure they're going to try again with guys like Bryant, Russell, Javi, Contreras, all these younger guys that they want to keep around. They're going to try and extend them, and if they can, then that those aren't the guys that are going to be traded, right? Obviously, we can eliminate a few of these guys, but they'd love if they could do that. I'm not sure how realistic it is with certain guys, especially since they're littered with Boris clients. But if the player really wants it and they put out a solid offer, maybe it happens. So I think that's the best way to avoid that crazy contract. I think the Red Sox were one of the few to actually have one of those big time contracts pay off in Manny, because I think he was worth every penny in the long run.
Who do you think stays between Happ and Schwarber? Who do you think is more likely to go? And is there any way they would try to, in your mind, move Ben Zobrist?
That's not a crazy idea. I think it's more, I think they'd like to see how he does, how he responds. The wrist issue was certainly something that I think lingered. If he's healthy, he'll put in the work to try and figure out whatever was wrong and get back there. If it's just pure, the skills are degrading and it's not going to come back, then that's a different story, right? Out of Happ and Schwarber, I lean Happ. I think they really believe Schwarber is a special offensive player. And Theo said it, and I've heard it over and over again. That wasn't the guy that we saw. The guy that we saw is not who they believe he's capable of being. He has a special hit tool, and that was not displayed over the past, this past year or even his rookie year. We didn't see the 300 or even the 280 batting average that I think they believe is there. They really do. And it's not just the Cubs are the only people that believe this. I remember talking to a GM once a few years ago when Bryant was coming up, and he said, I believe Schwarber is the better hitter, pure hitter, this has been the evaluation for Schwarber, and he kind of fell out of rhythm. He fell into maybe some bad habits. So I think they still believe that's there. And I think they also discounted just how rough it was to lose a whole year of development. I know I discounted that, and that was completely unfair. You miss a whole year of development, come into the World Series and look like a superstar, and you kind of forget everything that just happened. So I think that lean Hap, but also have to remember that what are the other teams talking about? What are they offering? Who do they want? And if they get an offer that they feel is going to bowl them over for Schwarber, maybe they're willing to move him.
Boy, I couldn't disagree more. You know, I understand why you're saying it, but I'd much rather have Ian Happ. The Cubs don't win the World Series without Schwarber last year, so Kyle Schwarber is a Cub hero forever. But Ian Happ came up in the middle of May and finished with 24 taters. And
out of every single night in the playoffs, Harry was whining for more Hap, just to give some context here.
Joe Madden's thing is everybody plays. And Ian Hap must have broken a bottle of Snapple or something, because he did not get in the game to save his life. I know he looked bad going back on a ball in center field, but Ian Hap and left. You know, Elmore in center, Ian Hap and left. And he's fast. I mean, he's pretty fast, Sahadev, and he can hit. He's a switch hitter. That's the guy you want to keep, not Schwarber.
Yeah, I understand. I think you saw the best of Ian Happ. I'm not sure how much better he gets. I think he gets a little bit better. I think Schwarber has MVP offensive ceiling. Now, that I could be definitely wrong. I was wrong this past year, and I was wrong about Happ too. I thought Happ wasn't as good as he turned out to be. So Happ is very good. I think his defense is a liability, but I can't sit here and defend Kyle Schwarber and call out Ian Happ's defense, right? So they both have flaws. I still think Schwarber has the higher ceiling offensively. The guy had an awful year and still hit 30 home runs. I think there's a lot more left in there offensively. But I completely understand the doubt, and I completely understand your point. And it's hard for me to argue much further than that, because, you know, I was standing on much firmer ground a year ago than I am now with this argument. So maybe a year from now I'm going to look like an even bigger fool.
I love Schwarber batting second and seeing what he does next year. In left field, it's painful, but I'll live with it. We'll see what happens. Hey, Sahadev, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time on a Saturday, and great work at The Athletic, and it's great to be a member, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Nice talking to both of you.
Sahadev, you're my second favorite Sharma.
Awesome. I know. My dad does that to everyone.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Sahadev. See you,
take
man.
Take care.